Nice work.
Oh, shit.
We'll see ya.
Damn, bro. You even in the game. Here?
Bad luck, I guess.
Looks just like me.
I like how you have it on that screen tinier than the iPad screen.
Hell yeah.
Well, look who's back.
Welcome to Live from the Studio's live reaction video to other people's live reaction videos to the all-new GTA 6 trailer. That guy had 21,001 views. Actually, and two, counting us. 21,002 viewers.
Which is funny because I just realized, like, so when we're recording this, it was the day before the GTA 6 trailer was supposed to come out. Mm-hmm. But on the way over to the podcast, I saw that it leaked on Twitter. Mm-hmm. So me and Jimmy watched it, and then Jimmy wanted to pull it up on YouTube, but all there was on YouTube was just people live reacting to it.
As is the way of the world now.
Yeah.
We also learned that I have no idea how to log into my Twitter.
Yeah.
As well. That's all you can find anywhere. But thankfully, Rockstar Games, just they saw our plight, and they were like, you know what? Let's just put out the trailer, which I thought meant let's just put out the game. Mm-hmm. There's people already They're reacting to the trailer. That's really early for a trailer, dude.
Yeah, 2025, they said in the end of it.
But I guess you said the last one was 2013 GTA 5. See, I'm not a big gamer guy. I had assumed that they were at least keeping pace with the iPhone. I mm-hmm. thought it was at least GTA 14.
No.
You know? But they have, like, how often do they release, like, new updates and stuff? Because they've just been updating the shit out of it for, like, 10 years, I feel like.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, like, I think because most things, like, kind of revolve around, like, online real money stores and shit now.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy, like, cosmetic items and shit. So I bet they, like, kept up with, like, the online of GTA 5.
Uh-huh.
But, like, no one wants that shit. People just want GTA 6.
It just looks... It looks sick.
And it looks unreal.
It literally,
like, it looks so good.
It looks so real, it's unreal.
Yeah.
Like, they really, the graphics have gotten so good recently. It's just, I mean.
Like, the lighting is crazy. Like, the scene where they're walking through the fucking convenience store, and you, like, see the fluorescent lighting, but then also the lighting off the sign in the window is, like, reflecting around their shoulder and shit. Like,
and
it's crazy.
And they've got, like, this really is a reaction video. You thought I was kidding? This is us reacting. This is a real reaction video. This is actually more than you get from the average reaction video.
I know.
This is legitimate. We are really reacting to this as opposed to...
This is an unboxing. We're unboxing the trailer.
They're incorporating new things of the modern era. They got TikTok videos in there and shit.
Yeah, like, what the fuck was that about? That was insane.
Twerking on the hood of a car.
Yeah.
That's real life shit.
Can you drive by twerk people in GTA 6?
Yeah.
Is that what they're telling us?
Yeah.
That's fucking nuts.
I'm stoked for you guys. I got to be honest.
For you guys.
I'm stoked for you people. That's going to be fun, man.
That's going to be fun.
I might have to consider jumping back into the realm. I feel like I could really get into this, dude.
GTA 6 is going to get a lot of 30-year-olds back into gaming.
Yeah, I didn't really explore the GTA realm that much when I was younger. I just kind of, like, I remember... I don't know how much I ever really played it. I remember you could, like, bang hookers in cars, and that was, like, a big thing I liked to do.
In the game.
Oh, in the game. When I was, like, I was going to say 13. When I was 21 in 2013.
Yeah, I don't know if I ever did that. I was more of a...
You were a virgin in GTA 5?
I guess. I don't remember there being any, like, sex mini games.
You don't remember you could pick up a hooker?
I always heard that, but I never, like, did it, I guess.
You got to do it.
I think in GTA 5, you go to like a strip club, I think. That's the only one that I actually played the full story. Because mm-hmm. I was like, when I was a kid, I feel like you don't have like the attention span for like long stories in video games as a kid.
Yeah.
Unless it's like super easy, like Mario or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
All I love to do in GTA was just fucking go on sprees, dude. Put in some cheat codes.
Mass shootings.
Go crazy. Yeah.
Mass shootings is big for me.
Just drive around, fucking fly planes and shit. Like, you could just do anything.
People make the argument that video games lead to that, but at the same time, I feel like I got it all out of my system. I never had a desire to do that, but for whatever reason, when it's like not real life, I'm just like, yes, dude. Immediately. Yeah. I'm not playing the story.
Well, and it's like, it's not real life, but it's also like, It's not like I'm going to kill a lot of people because mm-hmm. I like doing that. It's like, no, I have to kill a lot of people so I get a lot of stars. And then I like to fight off the police.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Because they're the fun, because they at least fight back, you know?
Yeah. And it's like realistic.
And then it's like a challenge of like, okay, how long can I survive? Or can I like survive a little bit and then can I get away and hide and get away with it? That would be crazy.
Yeah. You wait like 10 minutes and your star meter goes down and you're like, oh yeah, hell
like,
yeah,
you, like out drive the helicopter getting under a bridge and wait for the stars to clear.
And just like in real life, the cops just, you know what,
back we give up business.
We give up,
let's go fucking bother poor people.
You reduce your hotness rating by banging a hooker in a strip club in a car and then you're back to normal. I used to do the nerd version of that, which was True Crime, Streets of L.A.,
mm-hmm.
which was obviously based in the city of L.A. And this, of course, being in Vice City. But it wasn't quite, I don't know, it was like, I did the same, you could do the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, you could still like drive around and kill people and shit like that. I'm just interested to know how different this is going to be, or not even different, because, you know, but it's just like, if they've been, like, what I'm curious to know is what makes this officially GTA 6 versus all the updates of GTA 5? Because I'm assuming, I guess they didn't update the story at all in GTA 5. Well, it's going
to be, oh yeah, but like, yeah, this is just, it looks like it's back in Vice City, which there was a GTA Vice City, but that was like in the 80s, I think.
There's also a girl lead now mm-hmm. as well, which is very 2023.
Well, in 5, there are 3 people were the main characters, and you could switch between any of them at any time.
Mm.
So it looks like this one, you're going to be able to play between the guy and the girl. Sick. It looks like a kind of like Bonnie and Clyde type story.
Love it. Can you grab some incense, yeah, please? Because right now my cigarette is just burning.
I thought that was incense.
Yeah, I know. It's not ideal. There we go. Something to try this out. I didn't realize my cigarette had that far to go. This is unreal.
No, it's all good.
Also, great song by Tom Petty there. I'm assuming that was Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Sounds like him.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, dude. That brightened my day. I haven't seen the sun, I don't think. Well, it was actually a nice day today. Mm-hmm. It was a nice day today. I was working with my dad today, mm-hmm. as you can tell.
Inside.
Yeah, so inside.
See it.
We were down in, you know, like the Lauraville, Hamilton area? Mm-hmm. We were down there fixing up a house.
Nice.
My dad always gets like the weirdest possible jobs. He like gets like these weird odd jobs. Like we were like making a wall on top of a wall. Like the wall was already there.
Yeah, yeah.
We were like reinforcing a wall that was like covered in lead paint. And we're like scraping off. My dad's like lead certified, and we go into the thing, and like we're like scraping off the lead paint. And the woman's like, "Do you guys need like masks?" I said, "Ah, fuck all that shit. You have to eat it for it to be a problem."
Oh my god!
And then he was just like riddling off all these things about lead that I didn't know. Like he was like, "Yeah, and apparently you can become addicted to it.
Whoa.
You can become addicted to lead."
Insane.
He's like, "Yeah." So parents, so. I guess babies, what I'm gathering now, I might be making this up completely.
But babies love lead.
Babies love lead. Well, they get addicted to lead.
Out of the womb, they just go for the first piece of lead they can find. They eat pencil or paint.
Pencil or paint. They eat a lead chip, and next thing you know, they're like, ooh, I like those lead chips. And now, 50 years later, I have to be in some house in the city putting walls on top of walls. What a life.
So people can't get to the pain.
Exactly. <yeah. laughs>
They can't fuel their addiction with the pain on their house.
Yeah. But that's just a mark of the economy. You know how it is. I'm feeling it.
Putting walls over walls.
Putting walls over.
I mean, that could be a deep metaphor for something.
It is something. Yeah, it is something. We're just creating work out of nothing. There's no work to be done. I already have a wall. Make me another wall.
It's like, on top is it of the New Deal? Where they just like got a bunch of guys to do random shit for money.
My dad always, because he knows like during the winter I slow down a bunch, so he just hits me up and he's like, you want to work with me? And in my mind, I'm like, God, no. No.
Of course not, but I will.
Unfortunately, I have to. I never work on Mondays, and last night I got the Sunday scaries because I had to, you know, my dad has this thing where he really enjoys making stuff more difficult. Mm-hmm. Lucas and I were talking about this because Lucas, whenever he goes over to his dad's house, his dad makes him do like chores around the house.
Yeah.
And he's like convinced that he makes it like more difficult on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and so I just always find myself when we're doing stuff, like we have like everything in a different room. Like literally the nails are in like a room over there. And the hammer's over there, and I like run out of nails, and like I'm literally up on a ladder. Like, I'm like, where are the nails? I'm like, Dad, why don't you put the nails in the room that we're fucking using the nails in? You know,
yeah.
It's just wild, but at the same time, me being a loser, I'm not in a position to turn this work down. So now I have to do it and realize that I suck at that stuff. I'd never gotten good at it. My brother is now, I guess, officially better than me at blue collar work.
Wow.
But I'm about as good as I'd ever like to be, you know? I did do this studio.
Yeah.
With, like, none of the proper tools.
Oh,
I had, like, a chalk line and, like, one razor blade.
Yeah.
Just one razor blade that I just used into oblivion.
You probably used, like, one drill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one drill for the whole thing.
Yeah, with a battery. I didn't even have a second battery. It would just run out, and I would just have to wait. Just sit there for an hour and wait so I could put up another piece of drywall.
Yeah.
But hopefully when I get the new pad, then we'll redo a studio, and then I'll be back at it, baby.
That'd be sick.
And apparently, now that I've worked with my dad for one day, that now gives him a free pass to call me up and just describe arguments he's having with my mom about packages. That is a sketchy
situation. He, like, phone-a-friended you like it was a game show.
Yeah,
his like argument with your mom.
And I was like, oh, let me not put this on speaker. And then I realized he was screaming into the phone so loud.
Well, he's screaming into the phone so loud. But then I also did hear a little bit up front where he's like, all right, perfect. Make it a segment for your podcast.
And now I inadvertently am. Live reaction video to my parents' mail argument.
Exactly.
To fill you guys in on the goings on at my parents' house, they received a package addressed to their house, but for a different person's name. And you informed me that it is illegal to just open the package.
Yeah.
I guess, is
that only for like legal mail, like USPS? Was it delivered UPS or FedEx?
It was delivered UPS.
So that might be different.
See, it's weird because what had happened
was USPS is like a federal thing, so I think that's why it's
federal mail. Mm-hmm. This is just a package being carried.
Yeah,
I don't think it's a violation. I mean, I receive things in the mail sometimes that are addressed to previous residents, and if they look, you know, like gift cards and stuff, you know, like sometimes like for instance, The Point sent out a gift card for my birthday, aka some guy that lived there before me's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I'm using that. Is that a federal crime?
No.
If I get 15% off on my next bottomless
mimosas. Well, because also you didn't open anything, probably. It was just a mailer thing.
It was one of those things you had
where
to like.
It tears off.
Yeah. That's totally fine.
That's fine. Finders keepers.
Mm-hmm. But I'm interested to know what the game plan was, because basically the package shows up to my parents' house. It's addressed perfectly to their address. Because a lot of times, like, you'll get I don't know if this has happened at your new place yet, but a lot of times you'll get a package that, like, it's, like, the same house number, but, like, a street over. Mm-hmm. And that makes sense. But this is, like, their house.
Or, like, your neighbor's address or whatever.
And then a woman shows up and goes, did you guys receive a package in my name? And my mom, for some reason, was like, no. Mm-hmm. She didn't say her name. And I guess that was what the argument was, because my dad was like, what do you think was going on? Obviously, that had to be the person whose package it was. Mm-hmm. But I think that now that we've unraveled the fact that it's... the fact that we just guessed that it's not illegal to open UPS makes me headlong committed to the idea that it's not. And if there's something sketchy going on, I think it's their duty to open this package.
Or just get... they should have just given it to the person and then been done with it.
Yeah. I mean, that would be ideal, but she already didn't do that. And so now there's nothing left to do but bust a move. Bust that package open, see what's in there. Hmm. Maybe some drugs. Maybe you're uncovering something. I don't know. Hmm. I'm just saying what I would do. Obviously, what I would do in that moment is give the package to the woman. Mm-hmm. But in this moment... the only other thing I could think is, like, you know, remember, like, when anthrax was a scare back
in
the day?
Is it, like, one of her neighbors? Like, is it, like, did they, like, switch two digits on the house address by accident? Like, because I could totally see it being something like that.
I could see it being that, too. Maybe a 294 Ridge Avenue. I have no fucking clue. Mm-hmm. I have no fucking clue where my Camel Crushes go. By the way, how did the your car situation go last week? Your battery got all fucked up. It's going around.
Yeah, there's something going around with the cars.
Something's catching on.
Yeah, something's going around. I drove my car all weekend. It was fine. And then Monday morning, I was about to go to work and just wouldn't start. And then I was like, okay, maybe I'll just take Elizabeth's car to work. But my car was like the first one in the driveway, so I couldn't get her car out.
Oh shit.
So I had AAA come the next day. I just like Ubered to work. It was fine. But I had AAA come the next day. They were able to jump it. I thought it was gonna have to get towed, but I took it into a shop anyway. I was like tempted to buy a battery off the AAA guy, but also like I already made an appointment and I was like, I'll take it in, I'll get, you know, if it's the battery, fine, but I also want to have them check shit out.
Oh, the AAA guy was like slinging batteries while he was at the
house?
Yeah,
they sling batteries now.
Oh, shit.
Which is like a good deal. Like, because if it's just your battery, you can get it done right then and there.
Yeah, but that's the problem is you don't know what it is at the time.
Exactly. So I took it in to make sure it wasn't just the battery. But it was. And
turns out it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wish that was the extent of my issue. My car was in...
yeah, you had a recall recently.
Well... I don't think I ever discussed this on the podcast, but a couple, like a month ago, I was driving, I picked up my grandmother to go visit my Uncle Bill in the hospital, and I came back, and then I was supposed to drive up to Bel Air to go do my cousin Nick's podcast. Shouts out Slippery Stallions podcast. Shouts out Nick DiCarlo, Coon, Zach, all the boys. And as I pulled out of the back street on my grandparents' street, my car just started, like, it was, like, fine. And then also it was, like, and then I remember, but it felt like you were just running down.
Yeah, like you're, weren't on, like, a real road.
Well, it was a road.
Oh, okay.
Which is what caused alarm.
Okay.
Because I'm looking at this road, I'm like, this road is not that bumpy. Felt like I was driving up the side of a mountain. And then
you're, like, driving through, like, Fells Point or some shit.
Yeah,
like,
that was
something like that.
That's probably what caused it, probably. Mm-hmm. And so I stop, I get out, and my wheel is just like sideways.
Ooh.
Which I was amazed at how much my car could do on three wheels and a diagonal wheel.
What?
It looked like my car had suicide wheels. Like
yeah,
cars have suicide.
Fuck?
It was so strange.
So and, like your axle got bent or some shit?
Yeah, it's called the lower control arm. If you look under your car... they have like the axle that the wheels go on, and then there's like these two control arms that kind of like hold it in place, and one of those guys snapped. Now, of course, I'm saying this after the fact. It's funny. Once the thing happens to your car, you're immediately an expert.
Yeah.
A week later, you're like, dude, axle, really? Lower control arm. No, I thought it was like a... I had no idea what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, I think my wheel fell off. And then after extensive research, a night
and
later...
After
I was
trying to pull it off for a couple of hours.
And then after extensive research, I came to the conclusion the following morning that I blew a shock absorber. And that's what I told mechanics. I was like, yeah, you might want to come down here and take a look at this. Just busted a shock, you know what I mean? Sitting there with a fucking...
I mean, I did the same shit.
Crowbar and stuff. Because you got to at least put on an air of knowing what the hell is going on.
Yeah, so they don't, like, charge you out the ass.
It really is.
I was like, yeah, I think it's just the battery, but, like, I don't know. It could be, like, an alternator or a fuse. I don't know.
Just looking at a glossary of car terms. Could be the fucking catalytic converter. Yeah. I don't know.
I honestly, when my car didn't start, I almost looked underneath of it to be like, and I Googled, like, if your catalytic converter gets stolen, will your car not start? And they're like, yes. And I was like, oh my God, did someone get my catalytic converter? Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
It's unfair because from the mechanic's viewpoint, can you imagine how silly it is that, like, there's no other thing in your life where if the battery dies, you have to call someone.
Or, like,
to help.
You don't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And be like, yeah, I mean, I think it's like my upper lateral three. Like, I don't know. I think maybe I pinched my fucking
sciatic
clavia.
Clavia. Like, clavia.
Well, we obviously know what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. You took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to pay you for this visit. That was beautiful, sir. Can you take a look at this for me, medical doctor? No, it's just, it's silly because with cars, it's like we're so oblivious. Mm-hmm. It's like if my remote control runs out of batteries, I don't call AAA. And they're like, I'm like, my remote won't work. And they're like, dude, it's obvious. But with a car starting, it's unfair because it could be a myriad of things.
Yeah.
You have no way of knowing. And that's kind of how mechanics get you, which is why I've always been so wary of mechanics. And look, all the mechanics that I've dealt with have been super cool, but there's a reason why this stereotype exists.
Yeah.
So I don't feel bad by kind of casting that aspersion on the industry as a whole. I lucked out. I was recommended. Basically, my insurance covers towing within a 10-mile radius. So I got it towed to this shop. I forgot the name of the shop, but it was highly recommended by my family and stuff. And he, which was a very cool thing he did, he called me up and he was like, yeah, man, the thing snapped, blah, 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 blah. And I already have in my mind, like, I just have a sense in my mind that this is like $1,000 thing.
Yeah.
You just like, when a wheel is diagonal, you're God damn it. This is easily $1,000. And he calls me up and he goes, yeah, but I just looked into it. And apparently this is a very common problem with your make and model. Mm-hmm. So common that that it's under recall.
Whoa.
And so you can actually, if you did it with me, it would be minimum 600, maybe 8 to 1,000, because I don't know how rusted those bolts are and that could up the charge. But you could just take it to a dealership and they'll do it for free. And I was like, ooh, you didn't have to do that, dude. He just passed up. Lucas told me he technically does have to do that. I don't think so. I don't think he had to tell me that.
Yeah, I don't know.
But so I got it towed to the dealership. Car companies are only going to initiate a recall once they've assessed that the amount of lawsuits they're going to undergo if they don't issue the recall are going to supersede the amount of money that they'll spend by just offering people free repairs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the extent of all they want to do. Nissan just has to legally say, all right, fine, you can bring your fucking car over here, we'll fix it, okay. And then they'll give you like a deadline or something like that. But that's, they don't actually want to fix it
because
that costs them like $1,000 in labor and shit like that. They pay for that. So I call up the thing and it's fucking impossible. And I'm not talking, I called up Nissan corporate and they were pretty chill. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the Nissan White Marsh dealership. You know, when you walk into a car dealership, there's like two people there and they're just chilling. I was on hold for an hour. I was on hold so long that I actually got in my car while on hold and drove. Drove.
With your fucking wheel fucking doing the
No, I was borrowing my parents' car. I had my car. Because the thing is I had to verify with the dealership that it was going to fall under repair.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I hate taking shit to dealerships. This is another piece of advice I cannot recommend enough. Do not take your car to the insurance recommended dealerships, because what those dealerships do is they have an agreement with your insurance company that says, hey, well, yeah, well, any, you know, send all your business here. We'll do it for whatever, you know, the normal price is. So they basically agree to do it at like the lowest possible rate. Mm-hmm. And ipso facto, they get overloaded with shit and nothing ever gets done. It takes way longer than they said it was going to take. When Pollard's Towing dropped another car on my ex's car in the parking lot in Towson, first of all, shouts out to the neighbors because they actually like stuck around and like wouldn't let the Pollard driver go because he was really trying to go. Mm-hmm. But
I bet.
Yeah. Dropping a car on another car is that's a big one. That's now a you're big fucked. You fucked up both cars. And then of course the insurance company sent her to this place up in Cockeysville. Said it was going to take 3 days. Took them 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. She gets the car back. It's still fucked up. She had to take it back again.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you take it to a regular body shop and they're just like, okay, yeah, it's a fucking door, you know? So I try to avoid that as much as possible. And I figured it was probably going to cost more if I got it at the dealership too. But so I actually drove to the dealership while on hold, mm-hmm. and then made eye contact with the people that had me on hold. And I'm just like, what's going on here? Like legitimately. And, it was just, I think that, there's an essence of like, I mean, I was on the phone probably four separate times that day. The last one was the one I went there, but it was like three separate occasions of on an hour hold. And you get to a point where you're like, dude, you know what? This is so difficult and so stressful and nobody knows what's going on. Nobody knows what to tell me that I almost would rather just pay to get this fixed. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of me that thinks that's done purposely.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. It just doesn't make sense otherwise. But finally, the guy did actually get on the ball and fix it in like a day. And I was like, okay, great. So then I got my car back. And then now I got to fucking take to the body shop for something else. Mm. That was a whole other thing. That guy fell into my car. And
wait, what happened with this?
Last year in Fells, some guy. God, yeah. I never got that handled.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Now, here's the reality. I believe basically what happened was he dented my front quarter panel. There was also damage that I noticed later down the line of like my bumper kind of like hanging off, to which I have to imagine had to do with that because I never like got in an accident. I'm also not entirely certain that that's the case. But I kind of figured, like, I mean, it could be from that. I don't know what else it could be from that. Mm-hmm. So I tried to, like, get it added to the estimate. And so I took it to the one body shop, and she was just like, yeah, no way. That's not from the same incident. Mm. Like, very boldly to the point where I was like, you call me a liar? I mean, like, I don't even know if I am lying right now. I don't think I'm lying.
Yeah.
But, like, the confidence with which she was just at 8 in the morning, the boldness at 8 in the morning to just be like, yeah, that's definitely not going to happen. That's definitely not from the same incident. I was like, wait a second. How do you know? How do you know that? How can you say that with such confidence?
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm thinking like...
Were you there?
Were you there?
Were you there that night?
Exactly.
Can you be a witness?
Yeah. And like, I kind of had to like play out the whole scene of like how it might have happened. So I'm like reenacting a guy falling into my car and then rolling and then putting his hand on my bumper at the exact spot. I'm like in the parking lot of auto body collisions on Joppa Road, just like reenacting how I think something happened. And this woman's just sitting there just like, dude, this estimate is from a year ago and this damage was not there a year ago. And I'm like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. Because in my mind, I'm thinking like, I've been driving on it for a year. The bumper gets worse. The undercarriage is sagging. Now that's dragging across the road. It gradually deteriorates. Mm-hmm. And then I took it to this other guy. I went for a second opinion for my body shop. I took it for a second opinion. And this guy was just chill as fuck. He was like, he believed me. Mm-hmm. He believed all men. I loved that. We were talking and he was like, but even he was like, yeah, I mean, I can try to get this put in, but probably not. And then because I was working with my dad was in the parking lot too. And halfway through the conversation, because like I, even as an adult, I don't want to have a conversation with another adult in front of my dad. Cause I know I'm getting the fucking like the rubric report, the Scantron report. And so eventually halfway through the report, my dad just winds up and was like, Jim, listen, you got blah, 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 blah. And the guy just looks, he doesn't know this is my dad. He doesn't know this is my dad.
Yeah,
there's just a guy next to us who just winds up and just starts telling me how to handle the situation. And then I'm like, oh, by the way, it's my dad. He's like, oh, okay. He walks over. My dad has like his pistol. And
oh my God.
No, the guy comes over and he's a fucking body shop worker. So mid conversation, the body shop guy's just like, kind of mag is that, blah, blah, blah. Now all of a sudden they're hitting it all.
Yeah.
Now I'm immediately a bitch again, because now my dad has taken me to a body shop and now he's talking about guns with this body shop worker, and I'm over here fucking reenacting a fucking
you're putting on the play for them.
But even he was like, dude, just get it done as a separate claim. And everybody's acting like it's just, oh, whatever, who cares, just two separate claims. I'm like, dude, it's the difference between a $100 deductible and a $500 deductible, you know? And I'm still pissed off that my insurance company never got to the bottom of actually holding this person responsible that fell into my car. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what pissed me off, is I gave them as much information as one could be expected to give someone. I had a picture of him wearing a name tag. It's almost like you couldn't. That would be like a movie. Like, I have a picture of a guy who conveniently was wearing a name tag sitting next to my car drunk. I had multiple witnesses who were there with him who all worked at an insurance company because it was an insurance convention.
Yeah.
And yet somehow, with all of that, they call him up. The guy says, apparently, yeah, I don't know what he's talking about. I didn't do that.
Oh, my God.
And then he didn't do it. According to my insurance company, it's just that simple. Yet, if I say that some damage to my bumper may be related to another thing, all of a sudden they're forensic experts. I, the person paying the insurance company, gets more pushback. I get more pushback from the people I pay to cover me than the guy who fell into my car. It's infuriating, dude.
Yeah.
It's almost like, I don't know. It's just like, how do you not get pissed off about that? Why am I arguing with my insurance company? How can you tell me? How do they have any, like, I don't even know how they, I don't know.
Yeah, because you're literally paying them to take care of a situation just like this when it happens.
Exactly.
And they're like, are you sure it happened though, bro? Are you sure? Make sure that check's coming in this month, though. But are you sure that happened?
Yeah. Don't forget your premium that's way too fucking high. I'm with Allstate right now. A family friend who works at Allstate is the reason I have Allstate. It's the reason why my parents and my brother all had Allstate. And then last Christmas, I'm talking to the guy. He's over for Christmas morning. And I'm like, yeah, blah, 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 blah. Like, how much do you pay for Allstate? He's like, I don't have Allstate.
Oh, my God.
He's like, why not? He's like, it's too high.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Why am I on Allstate?
For his fucking sales commission, obviously.
Unbelievable.
Damn.
Yeah, I felt so. I gotta move over. It's how much do you pay for insurance a month?
I don't know, cause me and Liz do it together now.
Ooh, that's very adult.
But it's around like three something for both of us.
That's like a step beyond marriage. That's like a 5-year married couple thing to do, is share car insurance.
We had to get home insurance for the house.
True. Did you bundle it?
So, yeah, we did both with USAA, I think. I don't fucking know.
I can definitively say, because much like anything else, I learned this about the American justice system, that it's all fucking bullshit anyway. It's, you know, when I had that parking barrier thing, I really did go in there thinking it was like Goodwill Hunting and I was going to defend my case like fucking Alexander Hamilton.
Yeah, but no, like they just hear the testimony of the cop and they're like, okay, yeah, I trust him more than you. Yeah. So
the cop lied guilty on the stand. He perjured himself on the stand. No one cared. And I also realized that more than anything, they were pissed because I didn't get a public defender. I didn't play the game.
Oh my God.
And I used the metaphor, like, they didn't say we're pissed that, but it was like, I think it's akin to like when I used to work at a restaurant, when I used to work at Seasons, which is like half carry out, half dine in, or mainly carry out, honestly. And people would just order carry out the counter and then take up a table and eat. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like, dude, this is my whole job. Like, you're not only are you not getting me to serve you, which means I make zero money and I'm probably gonna have to clean up after you afterwards anyway, But also, it's like you're not playing the game. You're taking up a table from other. You're like, and that's what it was like when I walked into court. It was like they're like, dude, everyone in here has to make money. If there's no crimes, we don't have jobs. The cops don't have a job. The judge doesn't have a job. The public defenders don't have a job. So when you come in here and think you're just going to fucking Matt Damon your way out of this parking thing, fuck you. Get a public defender. And I'm thinking like, why? So they can offer me a fucking plea deal? And they did offer me a plea deal and I said no. And I did actually wind up better off because of that. Mm-hmm. But much like that, you also learn that it's a joke. Much like insurance, you have this idea. There's a couple things. Bank cards. Everybody thinks, oh man, somebody steals your card, makes a fraudulent charge. No problem. Call up your bank, tell them it wasn't you. Problem solved. Oh, somebody made a fraudulent withdrawal out of the ATM using your card. No problem. They'll take care. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Very rarely, maybe. It has to be like a specific circumstance situation. If it's a debit card, sorry. Our friend, a guy we know, worked at Bank of America, had his Bank of America card stolen. Somebody had been standing behind him at the ATM secretly watching. I guess he was like really drunk in Fed Hill one night and was like trying to withdraw cash. They saw him enter his PIN, somehow managed to get his wallet at some point because he was wasted, came out, withdrew $800 from his account from the ATM. This guy works at that bank. And they never covered it for him.
Damn.
And that's a guy who works there.
Damn. And you know ATMs have cameras.
Yep. Yep. And that's what you're dealing with is you live in that. We live in this facade where we think that like, we really think we're covered. We really think that like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. But they're not.
State Farm's not there.
State Farm is nothing like a good neighbor. They're not there. Your insurance company's job is to find a way to pay the least amount of money possible. Mm-hmm. If it's going to cost them more money to find the person that you claim liable for this whatever than it is to just tell you, fuck it. They're just going to tell you, fuck it, even though it's going to wind up costing you more money in the end. Like, mm-hmm. even though now I'm on the line to pay my deductible as opposed to this person and this guy's insurance, it was not enough damage for them to go, yeah, we'll find him liable. And I'm like, dude, I'm paying you $200 a month. That's not nothing. That's, what, $2,400 a year?
Yeah.
Like, I don't expect you to be my personal attorney. But when I give you every possible piece of evidence... I've had this happen. I'm 0-3 in my own personal life of having someone damage my car, having every possible amount of evidence you could ever want. I used to work at Cheesecake Factory. Somebody broke off my rearview mirror, I guess, doing something. A witness saw it while I was at work, left a note on my windshield saying, hey, here's the license plate of the person who did it. Here's my name and my phone number as a witness. I call up my insurance company. I say, blah, 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 blah. What happens? What do you guys think happened? I'll tell you what didn't happen. Hey, sir. Yeah, we just spoke to the witness and they confirmed the story. We actually ran the tags. We have them ID'd. We also got in contact with the mall and managed to look at the security camera footage in the garage. And we do see that car hitting your rearview mirror. So we're going to contact them and you should be squared away. That's what didn't happen. What did happen is, so we actually called the witness and they just said they didn't want to get involved. I was like, dude, why did you even go through? Like, they didn't want to get.
Why bother writing a note? What the fuck?
You wrote a note. You wrote your name and number for what? So that when they call you, they just said, yeah, no. Then they go, so we called up the guy who they claimed to do it, and he says he didn't do it. Mm. Oh, well, okay. I guess he didn't do it. Did you guys check the cameras? Oh, yeah, actually, we did. Turns out that that particular part of the garage is like in a blind spot.
Oh, my God.
Convenient. And that's what happens every time. Without fail, you are not covered. State Farm is not there. Allstate is especially not there. I'm switching insurance companies.
You're going State Farm?
I'm going to State Farm. I'm there. No, it's sad. It's sad. I'd like to think that there's anything in life that actually lives up to that, you know.
Yeah.
I will say the one time when stuff actually worked out for me amazingly was also paradoxically the time that stuff worked out so tragically, which is when a lightning bolt shocked the studio.
Oh my God.
And
yeah.
All the shit broke. And I was able to get all of that stuff repaired and replaced mm-hmm. for free.
Yeah.
I had to pay like shipping.
I mean, I think, you know, knock on wood, thank the stars, fucking that happened like within a month of you buying it.
Yeah. And it was like, it wasn't like one company. It wasn't like I called up one company.
No,
they were chilling.
Like all the different companies.
I had to call up fucking Roland for this thing. I had to call up Shure for the microphones. I had to call up
Sony
for the cameras. I had to fucking do something with the interface. And they sent me, like, it was unbelievable. Yeah, all five companies were like, yeah, dude. And they probably knew. Like, I was like, how do you even explain, like, you know? Both of my cameras just fucking stopped, and they probably knew it was. But that's like such an odd thing that I like to believe that somebody was like, all right, this guy's stuff is obviously struck by lightning.
Yeah.
There's a giant lightning bolt through the camera.
Yeah.
We're going to help him out. But that's the only fucking time ever. And you know why it was? Because I bought expensive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that ultimately, that's another thing you learn in life. That shit pays off. Being cheap costs money. When you get the cheapest possible thing, you get everything that comes with it.
Yeah.
And ultimately, when your fucking shit's breaking, you know, at an important time, you get a cheap microphone stand and it fucking breaks at a fucking gig, and now you're duct taping together a fucking microphone stand at somebody's wedding, as I've done. You know, people see that, they're like, dude, what the? Why do you have duct tape around your microphone at my daughter's wedding? You fucking idiot. You think that guy's recommending me to the next wedding? You know? Now I've lost money by being cheap. Now I've lost money by not just spending $50 more on a microphone stand that's reliable. That's the lesson you learn, baby. That's the lesson you learn. I had a couple things I did want to talk about besides just how much everyone but us sucks.
Yeah.
Surprisingly. We are venturing into the Christmas. I got you this Diet Coke, by the way.
Oh, nice.
Because I was feeling like Christmassy, and for some reason I feel...
So I got you a present. A Diet Coke. No. It's not even one of the Christmas bottles.
Enjoy a Coke. Why don't you? I almost got the caffeine-free one because they're gold, and I felt like that was a little bit more... I don't know. Coke is just like such like a classic...
Coke is a Christmas.
It's a Christmas thing, dude. I was exploring recipes for Christmas desserts right now. My brother just moved out, and I'm officially living alone for this next 2 weeks. And it honestly doesn't feel any different, because I didn't realize how much I don't ever see Dom, even though we live in the same like 800 square foot area. Yeah. It feels no different. I feel like I haven't seen anyone forever. I was like thinking the other day, I was like, I'm lonely. So lonely. Where did all my friends go? Nobody wants to do anything anymore. Oh, dude, when you guys left, by the way, I think this is the first time we've done the podcast since our pre-Thanksgiving Eve thing.
Yeah.
When you guys left,
mm-hmm.
I found myself in my rocking chair. Like, as soon as you guys left, like, the music was off. I think you would, for some reason, you had turned on, like, an AI space visualizer on the TV.
That's what I think your brother or his friends put that on when the music was playing.
Yeah, and then they took the speaker, because God forbid you don't bring your fucking speaker to the bar with you, or whatever the hell that thought process was. And so the music was gone, and then we had unmuted the space visualizer, which is just a loop of... And so we're watching that, and then you guys are like, all right, I'm out. And I was like, all right, peace, catch you later. And then as soon as the door closed, I'm just in an apartment with fake space on my TV. And
oh, my God.
And I stared at my wall for 5 minutes, and I said, no. I got up and I just walked out to the bars and met up with my brother and his friends and stuff. Nice. I had to. I legitimately was totally cool with not going out to the bars. In fact, I had half a mind to tell you guys pre-invite that, like, dude, we don't have to go to the bars, by the way. Because I feel like that, oddly enough, in our now age, is almost a selling point.
Of not going to the bars?
Not going to the bars. Yeah. Like, I feel like
if
I were to put out there, like, by the way, like, literally, we can just come over and, like, drink and chill. Like, we don't have to go out. That, I thought about it, but then I was like, nah, because then what if I do want to go out, you know? Mm-hmm. And then I've already sold not going out.
Yeah, yeah.
And
you're
glad
to go out, dude.
Yeah, I mean,
and you did.
I did. Yeah. I did. And let me tell you something, dude. I was actually surprised at the amount of people I saw.
Yeah.
Because for the past couple of years, I had been noting that it's just you see less and less people. Mm-hmm. And I think I've just become such a believer in that theory now at this point that I've set the bar so low that I saw Chaz Fackler. I saw Adidia from Seasons. I saw some people. I saw Connor from Thunder Club. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw people. And I was like, this is fine. And then I just remember I did unfortunately black out that night. And I went up at like Bread and Circuses. And I don't know if it was just the hangover anxiety of the next day, just thinking like I did everything wrong. Mm-hmm. But I just remember this feeling that I just pissed everyone off last night.
Oh, no.
Not you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember feeling like
the people after the blackout.
Yeah, yeah. I just remember like vague blips of like, picturing people talking to me and their faces being like,
yeah,
like not impressed faces.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What's the problem here, dude? It's Thanksgiving Eve. Mm-hmm. I don't even know. I did say to a lot of people, I was like, yeah, I was like surprised to see that. Like, I just feel like not as many people go out. And I feel like a lot of people were mad defensive about that. Mm. I feel like that's what was pissing people off.
Yeah.
The fact that I was
like, yeah, you've said this to us five times tonight, Jimmy.
All right. I'm going to say one thing about myself. And I'll never say anything about myself again. At least this is my one thing I'll say about myself a year. One compliment. I am not a repeaty drunk. Hmm. And many people that I are in my family are. Dom is a repeating drunk. Hmm. Dom will tell the same story. Not even just multiple times in a night, but like back to back, back to back.
Oh,
he'll
yeah.
get to the punchline and then much like a TikTok loop.
Just restarts.
Just restarts.
Hell yeah. That's beautiful.
That is one thing because my worst fear is repeating a story. I hate that. That's why I can't do stand-up comedy. I cannot repeat a story. That's why every time I say anything that might even be possibly something I ever said on this podcast, I always say, and I'm pretty sure we talked about this before. And we definitely talked about this before. Like I can't do it. So I don't think, it wasn't that I was bombarding people with this same theory repeatedly. I think
you weren't saying the same thing over, but it was just a remix.
It was a
Isn't it crazy? There's a lot of people out this year. I feel like last year and the year before, not that many people came out.
There are more people now than there were previously. Last year, there were less.
This year, more?
This year, more? I don't know if it was like... Here's my theory. I think that if you're a person... I think that everybody is aware that that's a thing. And I think that the people that still go out don't want to believe it. And I think that I was the bearer of bad news. But it wasn't even bearing bad news. It was like me being pleasantly surprised and then being like, that's not a thing. That's not a thing. What are you talking about? That's not a thing.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
All right, dude. And then I'm like talking to somebody and like I like got their life story wrong. And they got like catty about it.
Ooh.
Like I was like, oh, you're still living out. Are you still living out there? Like, no, dude, I haven't lived there in like 3 years. I'm like, okay, dude, sorry. I didn't major in
you
at college. Like
before the pandemic, you're right.
Yeah, like I didn't study you at university. Like I don't fucking like, it's just such a weird thing to be like annoyed that someone that's not that close with you doesn't have your life memorized.
Yeah, or like the updated version of it, you know?
Like, I'm ecstatic when anybody even acknowledges that we have a podcast, which people mm-hmm. did. A lot of people were like, yo, keep that shit up. You guys are good, blah, 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 blah. Like, that was cool. But that's because I'm actively posting those fucking clips of us and shit like that. Like, I'm putting it out there like, look.
Look.
Yeah. You're not fucking posting shit all over every fucking day saying, like, I've just changed my mailing address. Like, yeah, I don't fucking
finally
know.
Finally, I've moved.
Everybody, pay attention.
I hated it there.
Don't ever bring it up. Don't bring it up. You know, it was, I think they lived in Colorado, which is like, let me guess, you moved back once weed was legal everywhere because everybody moved to Colorado. And I'm supposed to know that, dude. Was I supposed to know that you were going to move back to Maryland?
Once weed was legal.
Unfortunately, that is literally...
I can finally move home now.
I should have had the wherewithal to know that, too, because that's exactly what I always think. Like, as soon as it became legal, I should have just been like, all right, he's back, she's back, he's back. Let's not fuck up Thanksgiving for everybody by not knowing this. I don't know, it's just like, I don't know, there's a certain element of like, you know, it's like, I couldn't imagine being like mad, like, dude, we literally just put out a song 5 months ago. How did you not know that? What do you mean, how did I not know that? How could I expect you to fucking know that? So I think it was a mix of that and the other thing. And I don't know, maybe I'm just not, maybe as nice as it was to see everybody, maybe I might be getting to that point. Maybe I don't want to see people. Mm-hmm. Maybe I don't want to see you motherfuckers anymore. Because apparently I am not doing well enough to converse with you. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing, not that I'm not doing well enough in my life. I'm not doing well enough at knowing your life.
Yeah.
For this to fly, you know? I don't know. But then again, if the same thing happens next year where everybody leaves and I'm left in outer space, I'm going to have to, I'm going to have to go out to the bars again. But anyway, yeah. So that is the first time we talked since then. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talked about kind of moving into the Christmas season. I've been kind of, you know, bored as shit looking at YouTube. And I've become really into pudding lately.
Okay.
Become a pudding guy.
Okay. So you got the place all yourself and now you're just making pudding all the time?
I'm not even making it. I'm just studying it.
Okay. Just the theory of pudding.
The plum pudding theory. Do you remember?
I like the idea of pudding.
Yeah, I really like the idea. Do you remember in high school chemistry when they were teaching us the structure of the atom? They gave us like a whole bunch of theories, and one of them was the plum pudding theory, that basically an atom was just like a hodgepodge of different subatomic particles, like the nucleus could be here and the electrons are over here and blah 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 blah. You know, and like, which A is like, I don't know, like there's better ways to describe that than plum pudding. Yeah. Because also they should also preface to at least American children that when we think of pudding, I'm thinking of like the fucking I can't remember what they're
like
called.
Jell-O or
snack packs.
Shit. Yeah,
the snack packs.
Mm-hmm.
The
like
idea,
vanilla or chocolate little pudding packets.
I don't even think I figured out that that's not real pudding until I was like 23. Like you get like a bread pudding, you're like, what's that?
Yeah,
and it comes out, and you're like, dude, this. And then I remember my mom being like, well, that's like what the British people call pudding. I'm like, oh, really? That's weird. And so I'm still trying to break myself of that. I think that's what's...
I mean, I still consider the pudding you're talking about in the first place as pudding.
But how can they both be pudding? That's what I don't get. How can two things that are not alike be pudding?
I mean, they're alike in the sense that they're like in between a solid and a liquid.
Okay.
And they're a spoonable dessert.
A spoonable dessert, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's more like yogurt.
Yeah, more like yogurt with some fixings in it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because also there's like blood pudding. Like there's like a bunch of other weird types of pudding.
Well, there's two things that I wanted to kind of draw conclusions on. The first thing in regards to the chemistry shit with plum pudding theory, that theory was wrong. And we were taught several theories that were all wrong outside of eventually they taught us the right one. So they taught us all the wrong ones and then the right one all at once. And I remember taking tests on having to know like which theory thought it was like this and which theory thought it was like that. And now that I'm looking back on it, it's like, How?
Yeah, why teach us that?
What a useless waste of time. Hey, here's 12 wrong theories. Make sure you memorize who came up with them and what they were called.
Yeah.
Why?
I guess to know the right way, but also, like, why not just teach the right way?
Just teaching the right way. That's the whole purpose of knowledge, is that I should...
Were our books, like, just so old that, like, halfway through the semester, we had a recall, and they're like, actually, here's the right theory. Yeah. Teach them that.
I mean, look, I give a pass on the whole Columbus thing, and, like, because that's, like, the one thing that, like, you learn Columbus, and then you realize that, like, oh, actually, Vikings were here before that, and actually, there were people, blah, blah, blah. And so, like, you spend your whole life learning that, and then, like, even with, like, the Pluto thing, like, that's the thing we were taught it was a planet, then it became not a planet, and then I think it became, like, maybe a planet. It's, yeah, like, it's why. It's, like, a planet the same way Y is a vowel. It's just, like, and sometimes Pluto. Literally, sometimes Pluto. Mm-hmm. Check in with us any given year. I'll let you know if Pluto's a planet. You know, I get that because it was, like, those were still theories that were in flux. The plum pudding theory had been wrong for 200 years, and they still felt the need to make sure that we knew the name of the guy and the name of the theory that was completely wrong. Useless information. So much of school was useless information. What a waste of time. Why not just go, hey guys, here's an atom? And unlike the students in 1800 that didn't know what that was and had to figure it out, we already know what that is. So how about you take that knowledge and then you can use your brain power to figure out new shit as opposed to wasting your brain power figuring out all the wrong shit that benefits you in zero way. Also, it's called pudding. You don't even know what pudding is. So this means nothing to you. We're trying to paint a metaphor to you. And now I'm trying to picture an atom like a fucking snack pack. I'm literally in fucking 10th grade thinking like, motherfuckers thought an atom was like chocolate pudding. Why would that be like that? And now you got, now in a greater waste of time, now I have to learn what actual pudding is just to understand this wrong theory. Yeah. Now I have to learn a new thing to learn this wrong thing. And in the span of time, who knows where I'd be now? Who knows where any of us would be? It's just a waste. But anyway, I think that's what's kind of driven the fascination with it. Cause like I'm breaking this like mold a little bit. Seeing it, and I'm like, I want to make it, you know? It's like, really,
that is how you truly understand a food, is by making it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's like what I, like, as I get older, I get more and more adventurous with food, but I feel like I have to make it first before I, like, order it out, if that makes sense.
Yeah. See, the problem with British cuisine is, honestly, most of it sounds good, but British are notoriously known for not having great cuisine. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, I disagree. I like shepherd's pie. Like, I'll crush a shepherd's pie. I like bangers and mash. I like shit like that. I'm sure I like haggis. Mm-hmm. I love sauerkraut's German, you know? I don't know. Pudding sounds good, but, like, fruitcake sounds good. But you know it's not good.
Yeah, it's not good.
And then when I realized what it was, it's literally they just make like a fucking like batter and then they boil it. So it's really just like a boiled pie in a ball. And I'm like...
The fruitcake?
No, pudding.
Oh, pudding. Ooh.
I've been... Every now and then I'll like...
It's a ball? Why is it a ball?
It's a ball. Because the way they do it is they make this batter. They put a whole bunch of fucking shit in it. You can make, if you make a plum pudding, it's just like raisins and currants, whatever those are. And like you can put walnuts. So it's not even like plums, really. And then they put it in there. They have what's called a pudding cloth. So there's like an actual thing. They flour that up. They take this big ball. They put it inside. They tie it up at the top. And then they put it in boiling water for like 4 hours. And there's your pudding. And then at the end, you can maybe, you know, throw some branding up top, light it on fire, maybe get a little crust on the outside. But like, I don't think I'm going to like it.
Yeah. So I wasn't even, I guess I don't know what fucking pudding is then either.
Exactly.
I was not imagining it being a ball or steamed or boiled.
What'd you think?
I guess
it was?
It's like, you know how like biscuit is like, you think of a southern biscuit, like biscuits and gravy, but in England or Britain, it's like
a cracker.
Cookie or a cracker,
yeah,
like a sweet treat.
Mm-hmm.
Because you said like think of bread pudding, like a bread pudding's not a ball either.
Maybe there's a significance to maybe it's just boiled. Like I don't know. That's the thing. as many videos as I watch, now you're saying that, and now I'm like back to square one. I have no idea.
Yeah,
again.
What the fuck?
I have no fucking clue.
I have to watch pudding videos when I get home.
You got
to
get on the pudding train, dude, yeah, because it's Christmas, and I want to make a plum pudding for Christmas. I just know it's going to suck, but I want to give British people the benefit of the doubt and try some of their shit.
Is that something from like a Christmas Carol?
Oh, give us some figgy pudding. Oh, give us. You ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
I watched the royal recipe, what they make in Buckingham Palace. The royal chef showed his recipe, and it looked bad. It was like a bunch of like candied apricots soaked in brandy and then like put in a batter. It was like, and we'll store these sometimes in the freezer for up to a year. And Prince Charles, he preferred it cold. And I'm like, this man
yeah,
was
it's
just,
in the freezer.
You would just take it out. You would store it for a year?
Yeah, what the fuck?
What the fuck? It doesn't even sound, I don't know, just everything about it. He said it it was so normal.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, it was invented as a means of preserving what they call sweetmeats. Fun fact, sweetmeats are just dried fruits.
What?
Exactly. That's not a sweet meat.
Yeah, Jesus
Christ. I never eaten an orange and be like, this meat is
the fuck
sweet.
Is wrong with them? This is why we had to leave that place.
We did. Everything was literally topsy-turvy. You know, they call them biscuits, crackers, biscuits. Sweetmeats is a fucking fucking raisin. That's a sweet meat?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not.
And don't even Google what they call a cigarette over there.
Certainly do not. That's not what that is. Never got a pack of them before.
You say you're smoking on a what?
No, I definitely want to check it out. This all arose from every now and then I make the mistake of a random video popping up on YouTube and then letting it play another video from that same channel. And then my YouTube's like, oh, I get it. You want to watch this guy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I guess. And so now anytime I watch a video, the next video is always this guy dressed in a fucking 1800s colonial outfit. cooking.
I think I've seen this guy's videos before.
The Townsend. He's actually really good. I enjoy it. I enjoy his passion. Like these people, like all his videos, like he gets like all dressed up and he like explores like 1700s recipes. One of them was just a baked onion. The recipe was onion, salt, oven. That was
hell
it.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, you really were scratching the barrel for this one. He was
fucking
like,
Shrek's favorite treat.
And I just watched this guy eat an onion. And like,
I sat here for 30 minutes just to watch him eat an onion at the end.
he didn't even edit the video. It was just him standing next to an oven for 30 minutes.
Yeah, it was him watching it grow for a little bit outside.
It smells great right now. Can't wait to taste. No, but I find that shit fascinating because I do like just find it interesting, like the kind of shit they ate back then.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm overwhelmed with it. I'm just watching these cook. I mean, I love cooking shows, but now I only know how to cook for like George Washington.
I only know what my great 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 ancestors ate.
Except not at all, because this is all like
not even Italian or Greek.
My ancestors were probably eating good, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Italians have had like you watch like an ancient Italian thing, like here's how they made pizza in 1700. Like they had pizza.
Mm-hmm.
These motherfuckers were baking onions in the colonies, and they were making margarita pizzas. And it's like the same shit. They're like, but at the time, instead of using basil, they used this. And I'm like, it still sounds awesome.
What do you got coming up? I ain't got shit.
Oh shit! I gotta flip my calendar.
Right, I guess I'm shooting. If any of our listeners are in New York City,
the Big Apple
City, I'm gonna be up there December 17th shooting JP McDade's new stand-up comedy special presented by Stavros Halkias.
Oh, so he was the guy who opened
out to that. The Lyric. Yeah, his opener for the whole tour. So I think Stav is producing his comedy debut special. So December 7th at the Bell House in New York. If there's tickets still available, get some.
A quick shout out to JP McDade, because I did go to that show, one of the showings, and I had never heard of him prior. And I was actually talking about this with my cousin and who I went with and a couple of their friends, and then also my brother who went at a different night. And also Dan Marissa, who also went at a different time as well. I was saying, like, dude, I think I actually remember more. And this is no shade to Stavros at all, because I love Stavros too. Yeah. I think he's doing big fucking things, especially for the city of Baltimore. So it's awesome.
Yeah, I think his Netflix special comes out tomorrow.
Yeah. And so this is probably more of a testament that I had far more drinks by the time Stavros got up than when JP McDade got up. Mm-hmm. But I was saying, I feel like I remember more like I remember a lot of bits from JP. He has some memorable fucking bits.
Yeah.
That were just
his act for those shows was like jam packed with jokes.
It was great. So you're filming a special for him. Is that getting any major offers, or is it just going to go on YouTube or something?
Just getting up on YouTube, but it'll probably go on Stav's channel just to get a bigger audience on it.
That's fucking sick. I cannot recommend enough that you guys check that guy out. Also, you know, obviously ATB on the ones and twos on that. You're not going to want to miss it. Mm-hmm. As far as my much less eventful schedule, White Oak Tavern, Ellicott City. Are you a Pokemon trainer? To this day, I still feel like Ellicott City was in Pokemon, or was it a different?
Or no. It sounds like it.
Yeah. I can't remember what the Pokemon City was. I feel like it was Ellicott City. But anyway, I'm at the real, non-mythical, non-cartoon Ellicott City in Howard County, just outside of B-More, on December 8th. This Friday, December 8th, from 8 to 11, I will be there. That's actually a really cool spot. I think, you know, if you find yourself in the area, come out. You don't even have to listen to me. But check the place out. It's cool. Outside of that, nothing else this weekend. You know, as you can see, I'm in my paint clothes. So you know the gigs are not rolling at the moment. But as soon as they're back, I'll be the first to let you know, I promise. Other than that, folks, yeah. Fucking at Jimmy Selesky across the board, at Eric Glazer, at Sophomore MD. We are definitely coming out with a song. Hopefully in the next month would be awesome.
Yeah.
I previewed you guys that last time, so that's coming together. So we'll be back on the charts in no time flat, hopefully. At Sophomore MD for the band. That's 3 O's in Sophomore. At Jimmy Selesky, at Eric Glazer, and as always, at LFTS Podcast across the board. Till next time.
Peace.